everybody. I'm Lizzie Hale from the band Hailstorm, and you are tuned in with Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams, welcoming you to our new episode featuring Sonia Anubis from Cobra Spell, guitarist, the founding member. You're like the main songwriter, too, right?
From Cobra Spell, yes.
Yes. So, and you've been keeping busy. And you just, didn't you, I think a few, like last month, you played Portugal?
Yeah, we played actually a tour in Spain and in Portugal. So we played actually just one show in Portugal. The rest was in Spain, so we could like play. It was in Lisbon, and it was a fantastic show. Packed, and yeah, would love to come back again.
Yeah, you guys were a discovery for me on YouTube. Like the YouTube algorithm just popped up, Addicted to the Night. I was like, what's this?
That's incredible. Yeah, I'm impressed because I never expected that Addicted to the Night was going to be received the way it did. I knew that, yeah, it's a cool song, but it's still like 80s heavy metal. I didn't know that this style could grab the attention of so many people. I didn't know that. I thought it was still underground. Cobra Spell is underground. We're not going to make it bigger than that because that's what the style is about. I mean, of course, I have my dreams and I'm a dreamer and I always will fight for it. Though to see that Addicted to the Night has been received so well internationally and discovered by so many different people in different countries is a total honor, definitely.
I know, it's almost 700,000 views now.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
I mean, what I love about the band is you got this very 80s vibe, but at the same time, I know you're also kind of nature-oriented, and you like to exercise, and you like to hike, and you kind of... It's good to take care of yourself. It's sort of almost anti-80s, because I remember back in the 80s, you had all these people that were in shape, but they were touring a lot, but they were also partying, which...
Yeah.
You know, how do you find a balance between the two?
It is very hard, but I'm very disciplined myself with my daily tasks. I always have like a list of things that I have to do, and in my list is always included to do certain exercises because I believe it's important to, you know, stay healthy on tour, to think about your you know, that you're fit, because otherwise you cannot deliver the show that you want to deliver on stage. It's very important that you're complete. So yeah, and I really look at what I eat, at the exercises that I do, and yeah, and besides that, of course, I like to party, but not to the point where I completely lose myself. I like to have control over myself, and yeah, I think everyone should take care of their own bodies because they are doing everything for us, and we need our body for many, many, many years. So yeah, we might as well take care of it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I see it now with a lot of the 80s rockers. Like, certain ones got in shape or they quit doing drugs, whatever it was, and some of them didn't. And you can just see it shows up, you know, it affects your physique and how you can handle things. You actually mentioned to me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, like, with younger people, maybe in a certain age you can see it, but then 10 years later and you see they're completely messed up because, you know, for a time, yeah, maybe it works because you're young, but it takes its toll, I think. I mean, I'm young myself, and I wouldn't know because I don't do that stuff, but I know there are a lot of musicians that used to abuse it, you know, you see them, and they became grumpy old people that do not even enjoy what they're doing, and that's sad.
Now, as far as exercise, one of the things you told me about is that you do gymnastics.
I used to do gymnastics.
I was curious if you're still doing that and what kind of I remember doing gymnastics as a kid. You know, I had a class, but that was a long time ago, and it was things I was good at and some stuff I was just like, I wasn't flexible enough. Like, what were you doing under that umbrella of gymnastics? What were you doing?
Well, I was doing like tumbling and stuff, you know, this tricks that they do on the floor. And honestly, I never did it like professionally. Like, I always did, these last years I've been mainly doing sports more as of taking a challenge for myself. Because of course, it's, you know, if you want to do a sport at the age that I am, I'm young, but gymnastics, you need to start like when you're 6 or 5 years old to really become good in a certain level. I just pretty much did it because I wanted to learn certain tricks as a challenge to myself and, you know, take away that fear of certain tricks that you can do, for example, like handsprings and backbends and all that stuff. And I learned a lot of the stuff that I wanted to learn, which I'm very proud of. And also I have done like Kung Fu. I've done it for a year. I stopped right before the tour because I wasn't able to go to the training, obviously, because I was gone for so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kung Fu was very fun to learn. I've also done synchronized swimming. Actually, synchronized swimming, I've done a lot of competitions with. I used to really, really do it seriously. Yeah, like I have some medals and stuff. I did a lot of swimming, but like normal swimming, you know, back and forth. I don't know how to say that, like just the normal swimming.
Yeah.
I started like when I don't know, like swimming. So not synchronized, but just normal swimming. I believe I started when I was 7 years old or something. And yeah, I've done swimming, synchronized swimming till I was probably like 16, I believe. No, yeah. A lot older, maybe 17, something like this.
And so what within synchronized swimming, what were you doing? Like there's different, assuming a lot of that's team, it's a team thing. It's not just
I
simply.
I did mainly team. Yeah. You have like, the solo, the duet and, the combo, and the combo is when you do in a group. And yeah. I used to mainly do it in a group. So I had a group of girls and we did like these shapes on the water and splits, and yeah, it was a heavy, but very, very fun sport. Definitely.
So where did you get the awards from? Like, where did you compete?
I competed a lot in the Netherlands, mainly, like nationally.
So you're an award-winning athlete, and hopefully then become an award-winning musician, right?
I mean, it completely changed. Once I discovered music, like, everything competition-wise didn't really matter to me anymore. I was really starting to get, like, into music, and then my world became, like, I want to be a musician. And that's what I'm still, you know, I'm passionate about.
Well, it's interesting because you talk about, you know, you're doing do Kung Fu and you've done swimming and you did gymnastics. And, you know, I watch like the videos and I watch your live performances. So you're moving around a lot on stage. I mean, you're very physical. Has doing all those different things helped with your movement on stage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do consider, like, for the movement that I do have to do some stretches before. It looks like I'm sometimes that I'm, I mean, I do move a lot, and it's maybe even more tiring than it looks like. It's like very exhausting. I don't feel it when I'm on stage because I have so much adrenaline on stage that I kind of forget about yeah. everything. And then I realize that after the show that I'm completely exhausted. But yeah, it's like a sport. It's really, really intensive, but I love doing it. Like being on stage is my favorite thing ever. And I like to lose all my energy in it. And yeah, there are certain moves that I have to be careful about because I realized that I used to do a certain move on stage before, like back when I was in a band before. And I ruptured my knee tendon.
Wow.
Yeah, like on stage. And it hurt me for a half year long. That's when it started, like when it started healing. And it was very bad. Like we have to be very careful about it. And that's why it's important to stretch before the show. And certainly when you move a lot, and I move a lot, and that's why I try to really be careful about the moves that I'm doing and yeah, kind of stuff. But yeah, I also have like this last tour. There are certain moves that we do, like getting on our knees. We have yeah. this moment where we get on our knees. During Addicted to the Night, actually, and I've realized this is actually very painful for my knees. I didn't think that it was gonna be, but I think I'm at an age, and I'm not that old, I'm young, but
yeah, in the early 20s.
Yeah, but I'm at my age already, I'm getting pain in my knees, and that's worrying. Like, if I get pain on my knees, that's not a good sign, so I have to see how I can still do it, but not get this pain in my knees.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go get surgery for a torn meniscus in my left knee, which is like it's a basic thing. I mean, I got it like basically like a year ago. I did a lot of PT. They first thought it was a hamstring pull and then started doing PT. And finally, I'm like, all right, I was supposed to have it done like a month ago. And because the doctor is busy, I got another doctor. But, you know, now my right knee is getting a little tired because it's compensating for the other knee. I did a lot of physical therapy and it did get better, but you can only get so much better. You just have to do it. That's more standard. I mean, it's not like a knee replacement.
Yeah, I mean, so far I never had like something as heavy as breaking something. I really had like I I've had injuries, you know, like tendon overstretching. Like I've had an overstretched also hamstring, like on my left hamstring. But this is many years ago when I was in super nice swimming. I had to do the split and I went too far and that hurt very badly. But yeah, I mean, on stage, mostly are knee things. Yeah, knee things mainly, and also my neck. Like I have a lot of neck stuff, but it's it was very bad like this last 3 years. But it's getting a little bit better because I'm trying to be really cautious about it. I've had a lot of physiotherapy about it too, like my neck, because it was the worst thing for me. It was really bad, and I've had it also before I did music. Like for but the music has made it a little bit worse for me. But yeah, I'm trying to look at my posture as much as I can. It's very important. Yeah,
it's tricky because, yeah, on stage you can do certain things. You have to be careful. I think it was, there was a drummer in one German band once that, you know, had, I remember he, I think he had a certain posture he did, and I think he made it look cool, but the way he was reaching over for the hi-hat, he had his drum set up in a certain way that actually caused back problems later on. Like, you can have cool stage moves, but those cool stage moves aren't going to help you later if you do a lot of that, or even if you're young, you have to be careful.
Yeah, so you have to work out in a way that you can make it, that you can actually do it. You know, if you train your knees, I mean, you can train the tendons and the muscles around your knees to be stretchy enough to make certain moves so you don't get overstretched in certain positions, or that you don't get the injury. I've learned that. And, you know, that's what I realized. Okay, never force something. When something feels too forced in a certain position, don't go too far. And it's hard when you have adrenaline because you don't really feel that limit. You don't feel where that line is in between. This is too far and this is not too far. So that's why you really have to listen, learn to to listen to your body. And that's a tricky thing.
When did you start doing Kung Fu, and has that helped you as far as body movement as well?
A lot. A lot. It's the most versatile sport that I've done in my life, truly, even more than synchronized swimming, because it involves a lot of different things. Like, it involves flexibility, strength, breathing, a lot of breathing. And breathing is super important. Like, breathing is pretty much like 80% of your energy, literally. Like, your energy comes from what you breathe. Yeah. And I learned a lot from taking Kung Fu, and I'm very thankful for it. Like, not only because it's not only fighting, it's a lot more behind it. And I kind of forgot what was the question. I got so much into it that I completely...
No, that's it. You're explaining it. Doro does, I think it's Wing Chun. Like, she has a different...
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. It's also a Kung Fu. I did Liu He Men, which is like more of a basic... It's not basic, I mean to say. It's the root of Kung Fu. It's like the basics of Kung Fu. It's not like a specialized style. It's the base of Kung Fu, what it's based on. And I learned a lot from that. And I also did Tai Chi, which is very good for like posture and, you know, balance. And it's also learned a lot from it, like from breathing. Yeah, it's I'm very thankful. Like, I have like this school like super near me, so whenever I want to go back, I can go back and catch some more lessons, because it's very, very fun. Yeah.
So it's not really just about kicking ass, it's about getting in tune with your body, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, getting in balance with your body and your soul.
As far as Kung Fu, what's been the most and what's the biggest revelation you've gotten out of studying that particular martial art?
I mean, the breathing thing was very important for me. Certainly, it helped me with a lot of pain that I was having with my muscles, because with muscles, a lot of the pain comes because it needs oxygen and it needs more air and need to relax. And I had this problem that I have a lot of tension in me, and I've had this for a very long time. And this is what I'm saying. Like, recently, I have less pain on my neck, which is like a miracle, because I've had pain in my neck for a very long time. And since I took Kung Fu, like my teacher, which you call him Sifu, He teach me how to release like this tension that I have in my neck. And yeah. I learned that with breathing, with stances that I learned, like the Kung Fu stances. And yeah, and it truly helped. Like I now have more control about my muscles. And the thing is, I believe like the root of the problem was when I did synchronized swimming. It's the complete opposite of what I learned at Kung Fu and synchronized swimming. You have to be like very tense. You have to put a lot of tension in your muscles, which I have put tension in my muscles for very, very long for that reason, because we had to put like shoulders to the back. And, you know, posture was very important in synchronized swimming, like dancing, for example. You have to really like have a certain posture. And with Kung Fu, it's more like you have to be grounded. You have to like release the tension. Because if you're grounded, nobody can put you down, because you put all your weight on the ground. And this is what I learned. Like, you have to ground yourself. I don't know if you understand what I mean. You just release all that tension that you have. Because if someone shakes you, you cannot just fall like this. Boop! If you're grounded, you can just stay. And this is something extremely important. Like, he compared it like, I mean, with many things. Like I can go on talking about it way too long. So,
but yeah, I think it's fine. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah. So that was something very, very interesting and definitely very good to learn from me.
So also, you've talked about going hiking too.
Yeah, I love that.
You like to get out to nature.
Yeah, I actually did a walk like right before the interview. It's such nice weather to walk around, and it's good to just disconnect from work, from social media, just or anything like going on. Just disconnect, go for a walk, and enjoy the nature. I just love doing that. Yes.
Well, also because, you know, I mean, I'm a writer, you're a musician. Especially in the pandemic, we spent a lot of time inside doing stuff, and it's important to kind of get out there. Like right, especially when the pandemic hit, like my girlfriend, I mean, I'm in the suburbs, my girlfriend's in Brooklyn. So I would go in, I would drive somewhere. We'd start taking walks outside the city, which we hadn't done before, which we need to get back to doing. We did that as a way to just go somewhere, but it's a good idea because we get disconnected. I mean, I love being near in cities, but you can get disconnected when you're sitting in front of a screen a lot, or you're indoors a lot from everything else that's out there.
Yeah. It's like you all of a sudden get into some kind of like too much information state. Like I have that when it's just too much, and you become very unproductive. And you know, what is the point of standing in front of a screen or doing something way too long, but you're not getting anywhere? Like it means that your body needs a break. Your brain needs a break. Like give it some fresh air. Like, And it's fun to just visit some nice nature places. Like there's a lot of forests here in the Netherlands, and I enjoy just like going there like with a car and just walking a little bit around. Sometimes with my father, like I live at my father's home, so we sometimes go together and make a walk in the nature, and I really, really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. No, sounds like, you know, and it's good because now you can bring all this stuff. It refreshes you, and then of course with all the activity, it's helping you. Hopefully, it's going to help you on stage with all this other stuff. Because
it makes you think. You know, it gives you time to think about what's going on, and that's very important to just take a moment to think without a phone in your hand or without a screen in front of you or people around you. Like, just take a moment for yourself and think about what's going on, or not think at all. Just enjoy the moment.
So obviously physical activity is good for you. Are there other things you like outside of music, other things that...
Yeah, I mean, besides something in music that I do like a lot, like I also do, is like I play a lot of synthesizers. I really like to play with my MIDI controller, and I mean, that's music related. I do write a lot of synthesizer oriented music. Outside of music, I do enjoy like playing around with makeup, like just creating looks, like dressing up. I'm really into that kind of stuff. Like I said, I think it's kind of like the artist side of me really likes to dress up and try out cool things and dancing. I'm just really like to do active things. I'm this kind of person.
And with makeup too, I mean, I noticed you try different looks. I mean, that was the big thing about the 80s, right? It's like, but you're doing it, you're not really necessarily doing it in the, there was sort of the hairband kind of glam thing, but you're doing it a little different, you
In
know?
Coachella, you mean? I mean, we do have like a certain style, definitely. It's kind of Cobra Spell, you know. We have like a sleazy touch, mixture of Judas Priest, mixture of Cinderella, mixture of like, you name it. I have like this kind of idea of Cobra Spell being this sleazy heavy metal 80s band, and we want to be unique with what we do, but we want to pay homage to the styles that we look up to, in a way that Cobra Spell can still make something that works in these days. So I kind of have like this aesthetic that I really like. You can definitely see it in the music video of "Addicted to the Night." It really represents what Cobra Spell is, and also in the cover of "Anthems of the Night." Like I've really thought about exactly every single detail, like all these colors, like all these things that are going on. Like I have a whole mood board about it because I have like a vision. And yeah, of course, I think the image of Cobra Spell is very important. And yeah, what can I say? It represents the 80s, but with a little modern touch. The makeups are not like original 80s makeup. Like if it would be like 100% 80s, we would have like a little bit different. But we enjoy doing our makeup in our own ways. Like I don't like to say to like Angelina, "Hey, do your makeup like that." I don't do that. Like, she can do the makeup the way she wants, like.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a very cool conversation for sure.
And you're clearly very focused, and you clearly have a plan.
Yeah, I'm very, I like the details. I like to know what I'm doing.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.